Hello, Victory Bible Class. Thank you all for being here. If you would stand with me, Mr. Larry is going to lead us in On a Hill Far Away, the Old Rugged Cross.
Good morning. Good morning. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you.
Thank you for good singing. You may be seated. I hope you love that song. I hope it does something for you. The old rugged cross, not a tragedy, a victory. The old rugged cross. Well, welcome to the Victory Bible Class. Let me go on here. All right, there you go. Who gets that? Yes. It's really funny once it hits you, but okay, not that great, huh? Not that good. Okay. All right. Okay. Keep thinking about it. It'll hit you. All right, here we go. What do we got? If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here in the Victory Bible Class. We do always appreciate our visitors, appreciate you regulars, and we thank you for joining us online. We have several on the internet that are joining us each week, and we do appreciate that. I'm going to go to our mission slide next. So we've got Miss Summer, Miss Maddie, and we've got the carriers down in South America. So please keep these missionaries and others, but just these three are connected here with the Victory Bible Class. Keep them in your prayers as they come across your mind. Our missionaries need a couple of things from us. What are they? What's one? Prayer. Number two, support. Yes, financial support. So we need to do those two things. Now, I'm going to show you something from one of our missionaries that's listed here next. So check this out. How you like that? So I know here in the States, you know, you might find a deer or a turkey or something in your backyard, but here's what you find over in Africa. There you go. All right. What do we got next? Hey, we got some birthdays and anniversaries. Let's go through there. So happy birthday this week to Miss Bonnie Anderson, Mike Babcock. Y'all got the same one, and Miss Beverly Lovegrove. So happy birthday to you three, and on the 13th, the Lanes, 41 years anniversary. So happy anniversary. Anybody we missed? Don't want to miss anyone.
I know we got married around the 15th of March, but me and him
renewed. Happy renewal. Can we say that? All right, good. Anyone else? Anyone we missed? Good. Well, happy birthday, happy anniversary, and happy renewal.
I didn't know this.
Guest host, Marty Scroggs. I'm so glad to see Marty today because I don't have anything for you. So beyond our normal nugget. But foreigns are, you know, I don't know where they are, but they're at a mission conference, I think. Where? Detroit. Okay. So they're at a mission conference or something in Detroit. You know, I don't think I have ever been to Detroit except passing through the airport. Does that count? No, y'all don't like that. Anybody ever been to Detroit? Keep those hands up. Keep those hands up. Yes, I see some volunteers. Oh, yeah. The timing there was impeccable. All right, come on, get those hands up. How many? Oh, one. Who wants another star in their crown? A star in your crown, ma'am. Thank you very much. Oh, yes. Bless you. Thank you. All right.
Marty will be speaking for us today, and I know you will enjoy that. You know, it's one thing that I love about this class, many things I love, but when our regular teacher is out at a mission conference or something, we have so many guys that can step in and keep the class going. Man, I think that's great. And I love hearing different perspectives. Every time someone else speaks, I see something different that I had not thought about. And I'm telling you, I'm here to learn, just like I hope you are. And I hope that you come each week expecting to receive something from the Lord, expecting to receive something from His Word. And I hope that you come out of this class more blessed, more knowledgeable, and more encouraged than when you come in. That's our goal, and I hope that's what happens to you each week. Let's read off our... I'm sorry. There's some scriptures we'll be looking at right quick, so if you want to turn to one, two, or all three of those, we'll be taking a peek here in just a moment. As I read over the prayer list, Mark Carter, one of the members of our class here, is going to... He's really struggling with some physical health issues right now, and Mark's going to be going to UVA on the 23rd to see about what they can do to help him in his next progression. So that's the 23rd of September, so we'll make sure to get that updated. Some other things on the prayer list, Amanda Elder with stomach and colon cancer. James Woods is in the hospital. Let's see. That was missing, yeah, from a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, right. Okay. So he's in the hospital. And then we've got Kim Casey with some kidney issues. And, some really serious kidney problems. So there's three health issues that I just read off. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to bless our time here together. And yeah. Okay, just make sure to put that down here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do give You thanks for the beautiful day that You gave us. It's a day that You created. You let us be a part of it. You didn't have to do that, but in Your graciousness and Your mercy and in Your love, Your agape love, you let us be a part of this day. And we want to give You thanks for it. We want to be a people of praise, a people of thanks. And we always want to look for opportunities from where your blessings come into our lives. And the blessings come in many ways. Sometimes blessings can even come in the form of a trial. And as we've looked through some things about the Apostle Paul, we certainly see that he was not exempt from trials and sufferings and different things in his life, but they're all blessings because they come from You and they work together for our good, and we thank You for them. And we want to pray for the missionaries that we've looked at on our slide, and they're just spread out in different parts of the world, and just pray Your blessing on their ministry, their provision, their safety, encouragement, and all the things that they need. And let us be faithful in praying for them and in giving to support them. And we want to pray for the foreigners as they're away in Detroit today, and just pray for your blessing on their meeting there. And we pray for provision and safety for them as well. And thank You for the way the foreigners work in this class and what it means to all of us, what it means to me. And I pray for Marty today as he's speaking to us, that You'll speak through him. Give us the scriptures. Give us the words we need to hear, words of encouragement, things maybe we hadn't thought of before. Maybe there's probably in a class this size, there's somebody that needs encouragement today. Somebody's struggling with some kind of an issue. It may be a sinful issue. It may be something that's not sinful, but it's outside of their control. Maybe somebody needs some guidance. There's three health issues that we just mentioned, and there's several others associated with our class. There's people going through bereavement right now that's associated with our class, and we just pray comfort for them, and we pray for in these health issues that many people are going through, that You give direction and You give healing where it's needed. We want to ask for healing because that may be on the table, and sometimes we don't get it because we don't ask for it, James says. And so Lord, we just pray Your blessing on this class today, and bless Your word as it goes out, and may it find lodging in our hearts and draw us close to You. May we be in Your word every single day this week. May we be in prayer every single day.
draws closer to you. We draw nigh to God, and he draws nigh to us. And just help us as a class to do that. And once again, bless our time here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I don't have my little monitor back there, so I'm having to kind of make sure we're on the right screen there. All right, here we go. So we've got this guy Agabus. Agabus comes to Paul, and he gives a warning about Paul going to Jerusalem. And the thing we're struggling with is, was Agabus giving Paul a warning and saying, "Don't go to Jerusalem. Stop and do something else." And Paul went against God's will for him? Or was Agabus just making a statement of fact on what's going to happen? And Paul was completely in line with God's will for his life when he went to Jerusalem. And that's what we're debating back and forth, and we're looking at, and we're trying to figure out. So let's back up a little bit. Early in Paul's Christian life, when this happened here in Acts 9, right after Paul got saved. So this is years before this prophecy of Agabus about Jerusalem comes about. And it starts out there in Acts 9, in verses 10 through 12. God tells this man Ananias to go to Paul. Paul is blinded. He can't see. And Ananias is supposed to go to him. And then in verse 13 and 14. Oh, look at that one. And you can read that if you have it open. Ananias argues with God. Now, I know that nobody in here would ever argue with God about something. I know that none of you would do that, but, so I'm not talking to any of you, but the backslidden reprobate sitting beside you, they probably argue with God sometime, at some point in their life, don't they? Yeah, so that's who I'm talking to. And Ananias did it too. He argued with God. Isn't that even funny to even say, argue with the Lord? Well, Ananias did, but then we come to verse 15, and the Lord is so patient with Ananias. You know, what would we do if we were God and somebody was arguing against us? Yeah, it probably wouldn't be pretty, would it? But God is so patient, and he's so loving, and he comes back to Ananias, and he's just having this conversation, and he tells him in verse 15 that hey, this guy Paul, he's gonna preach the gospel to three groups. Who's the first one? What's it say in the verse? Who's the first group he's gonna preach to? The Gentiles. Secondly, kings. How do you get an audience with a king? Can you just walk in there anytime you want? And no. I mean, of course, that, just like today, that this doesn't happen. And who else? What's the third group? Children of Israel. Now, I don't know this for certain, but is it possible that due to Agabus' prophecy years later, Paul going to Jerusalem, even though he knew what was going to happen, by virtue of the fact that Paul went to Jerusalem, got arrested, as Agabus said he would, he fulfilled all three of those things in this verse? Is there any way that Ananias could have known this at the time? Is there any way Paul could have really known how this would work out at the time? I don't think so. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I find verse 15 a stunning verse. We're looking back as it's all happened already, and we can see the end of the story. When this happened to Ananias and was happening to Paul, they had no way of knowing how this was all going to work out. But I find this a stunning verse. And then check out verse 16. The Lord's still speaking to Ananias, and he said, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Did the Apostle Paul have suffering in his life? Yeah, of course. Was Paul's entire life just suffering and nothing else? No, we focus on that a lot, don't we? We think of it that way. All of us at some point, and a lot of you even right now, are going through some kind of suffering in your life. And suffering can be lots of different types of things. It can be physical, emotional, financial. It can be family relations. A lot of things that fall under the category of suffering. Do we tend to think, I'm just going through suffering in my life, and that's it. That's all that's in my life. Is that really true?
No, but what do we always focus on? The bad things. Do we ever have in our life nothing but bad, like 100% bad? No, we don't. Does it seem that way? Yeah, it can be overwhelming, can't it? It can seem that way, but what if we stop to count our blessings, even in the midst of suffering? What if we just, boy, if somebody has the ability to write a song, that would be something for you to write. Man, I'm throwing some ideas out there. Count your blessings. What if you did that? You just named them one by one. What if you did that? What if we did that? What if Paul did that? I don't know. Sometimes I think Paul did. Sometimes I'm not sure that he did. I think he got discouraged too. But let's move on. Let's move on. Acts chapter 20. This happens before Paul encounters Agabus. Acts 20 is before that happens. Paul is in Ephesus. He's talking to the Ephesians, whom he loved dearly. He wanted to spend Pentecost with the Ephesians. Something changed his mind. Excuse me, and he wants to go spend Pentecost at Jerusalem. And it says, I just find this interesting. Verse 22, Paul says, behold, I go, and what does he say? Bound. And he says, in the Spirit. Now, Paul could have said, I go to Jerusalem. He's telling the Ephesians, I was going to spend Pentecost with you, but now I've decided to go to Jerusalem. He could have easily said, and now I'm going to Jerusalem. But he throws that phrase in there, bound in the Spirit. I find that word very interesting because in Acts 21, later, he meets Agabus. Agabus gives the prophecy. And what does Agabus say is going to happen to Paul if he goes to Jerusalem? The same word there. Is it possible that before Paul met Agabus, the Lord is impressing on him that something's going to happen in Jerusalem even before the prophecy of Agabus? Is that possible? I can't say that dogmatically. Maybe it's possible. Maybe Paul's connecting what happened with Ananias back in Acts chapter 9. Maybe it's starting to click for Paul even before he hears the prophecy. Because look back in Acts 20 there. I've got Acts 20 up there. Look in verse 23. Or I'm sorry, the end of verse 22, second part of verse 22. Paul said, not knowing, so Paul didn't have full knowledge of everything, but he was starting to get a hint, maybe. Is that possible? But he said, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. What does there mean? Where is there? Jerusalem. Does Paul maybe getting a little hint of what might be going to happen? And he used the word bound. I just find that so interesting. Maybe it means nothing, maybe not. But check out verse 23. Paul's still talking to the Ephesians, and he said, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So Paul knew there was a chance, a possibility, everywhere he went, that there was going to be trouble. And a lot of times that happened, didn't it? A lot of times that happened. So what do we think? We're still struggling with this idea. Did Paul go against God's will when he went to Jerusalem, or was he fulfilling God's will for his life that had been laid out from years and years before, and things were just falling into place, and Paul was following exactly what the Lord wanted him to do? We still haven't gotten to an answer to that. We'll pick it back up next week. Marty, if you want to come, and we'll continue.
Okay, John, you got me on. Nehemiah, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Nehemiah, because that's where we're going to be today. I appreciate the opportunity.
You don't have a PowerPoint.
I do not, okay. No. I appreciate Brother Graham giving me the opportunity, asking me to do this. I don't take it lightly. He is he's an amazing individual, and the Lord's used him greatly through the years. And so next week you come back, he'll have you back in the deep end of the pool. We're going to swim around the shallow end this week. Nehemiah chapter number 1 is where we're going to begin. But as we look at this, as I was reading through Nehemiah some time ago, I come up with these things. This is going to be a lesson off what the Lord impressed upon my heart. Because when you go to teach things, Bob Bryant told us two things, right, Mark? to know who's speaking and who's he speaking to. So Nehemiah is speaking, and he's speaking to the children of Israel, but I believe I can pull out some applications that the Lord showed me in my own life through what Nehemiah did here. And some time ago, it's funny, Mark comes up with these challenging things, and he says you debate them back and forth in here, the different things, and I love that because it makes you think about Scripture. But 18 months ago or so, I was sitting in here, and Mark brought up Ezra and Nehemiah. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
So he cast a shadow on Nehemiah, I felt, a fellow government worker, and I felt like I needed to defend him. So this morning, we should try a little bit of that. I'm just kidding. But it made you think about it to some degree. I had this lesson last time I taught, but I couldn't get peace about teaching it, so I do now. But so let me pray, and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your goodness. Lord, we ask you to be with Graham as he's in two churches today. Pray that you'll bless him and use him. Thank you, Lord, for his testimony, and thank you, Lord, for how you've used him. Pray that you'll use him again today. Pray that you bless his Sunday school hour. Help me to teach, make it plain, make it understandable. Lord, help me to apply these things akin to my life. Help me to be better because of it. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the setting here, bringing up to where Nehemiah was at, Zerubbabel brought the first group back in 538 B.C. Ezra brought another group back in 458 B.C. And then Nehemiah came around in 455 B.C. of the different groups that were coming back to Jerusalem at the time. And as we look at Nehemiah, he's a great example of a leader in our lives. Nehemiah organized, managed, supervised, encouraged, met opposition, confronted injustice, kept going until the wall was built, and then even more after that. But I think one of the greatest attributes, and how the Lord spoke to me as I was doing my devotion some time ago about this, I think one of his greatest attributes about Nehemiah was his prayer life. He lived 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where it says, pray without ceasing. His whole life was like being in a state of prayer. As he went through the day-to-day, no matter what he was doing or what he was going on, I hope to bring out some things the Lord really showed me and helped me and challenged me with my prayer life about how he was a man of prayer. Today we're going to look at how he handled life that is thrown at him through prayer. Life is unpredictable at best. And no one knows what's going to happen next. Whether it's money, family, health, friends, there's no matter what stage of life we're going through, no matter where we're at, things happen. And we'll learn a lot about Nehemiah and how he handled life and situations. Nehemiah came and was building the wall. And I think we can make application. I made application of my own life. That no matter where you're at, you're building your own wall. You're doing something, hopefully, for the Lord. If you're not, you need to find your wall and get to building. But the Lord puts us here to build our own wall. First, let's look at Nehemiah. He prayed two different type of prayers that the Lord showed me. Was he prayed long prayers and he prayed short prayers. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 4, let's see here. Read some of these verses, and it says, it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So you back up in verse number 3 when he finds out that the captivity in the province were there, the gates were down, the walls went there, and it was burnt with fire. So that's what made him sit down, weep, mourn certain days, fasted and prayed unto the God of heaven. So I'm going to teach about prayer today, but he also talks about how Nehemiah fasted, and I can't go past that without saying fasting works. I can tell you my own life, fasting works. It's effective. If you want to get a hold of God in a special way, fasting works. I've heard people say praying and fasting moves the hand of God, and I know what they mean by that, but I have found in my own life when I fasted and prayed, God did more of moving me and getting me where I needed to be. But fasting works. I don't have time to go into that. But so now let's look at his prayer. This is his long prayer in chapter number 1. And it says, and I beseech thee, O Lord, the God of heaven, a great and terrible God that keepeth covenants and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, let thy eyes be open, that thou may hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house offend. We have dealt corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress and scatter ye abroad among the nations, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them thence and bring them unto the place I have chosen, or chosen to set my name there. Now, these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong word. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of the servants who desire to fear thy name. Prosper, I pray thee, thy servant, and grant him mercy in sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So we look here, this is Nehemiah, is an example of Nehemiah's long prayer, and they prayed. So we got to prayer. In verse number 5, he recognizes God for who he is. In verse number 6 and 7, he confesses sin. So we're looking at how he breaks down his prayer. He confesses sin in 6 and 7. In 8 and 9, he prays the promises of God. So when he goes to pray the promises of God, it's an obvious thing to me that how did he know the promises of God? Is he'd studied God's word and read his word. So we need to be reading our word to know the promises to God to pray these things. And then the latter part of verse number 11, I believe he's saying that he asked God to give him opportunity to use him. He says, I pray thee, thy servant, this day, grant him mercy in sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah had a really good government job in Persia. He was a cupbearer. He needed to be a moral, honest man who was not susceptible to bribery. He held the king's highest trust. Easily, Nehemiah could have not been concerned about what was going on in Jerusalem. He had it made where he was at and remained in Persia. But if he had, I don't know that we'd ever heard about Nehemiah. So we look at this as an example, how the Lord spoke to me. How do we handle bad news when we get it? Nehemiah, in verse number 3, received bad news. And then he sat down certain days, fast mourned. And then we see in verse 5 through 16 how he prayed to the Lord. So the question that I had for myself, is this how I handle bad news, and is this how I pray? He gives us an example how we should talk to the Lord. Next, that was a long prayer. Let's look at a short prayer that Nehemiah prayed. Nehemiah chapter number 2. And let's see here. Where do I want to start? Let's see. Let's do verse number 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? Is there nothing else but sorrow in thy heart? Then I was sore afraid. So keep in mind, when Nehemiah was the cupbearer, anyone in the presence of the king had to be happy and smiling. I mean, it had to be sunny or 70, because if you wasn't, the king could kill you that quick. So when the king perceived that Nehemiah was sad, or his counsel there, that's why he said he was just not afraid, but he was sore afraid, because he knew the ramifications if the king did not like his answer or come in with a sad countenance before the king, it could be over that quick. And the king said, and I said unto the king, verse number 3, it said, King, live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place thy father's sepulchres lie in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Verse number 4, here's a short prayer. And the king said unto me, for what doest thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. So Nehemiah is standing right here before the king. There was no way Nehemiah was going to be able to do that long prayer. He didn't have time to fast. He didn't have time to weep. I guarantee he didn't want to weep in front of the king, because the king would have probably killed him. Had to really stood a good chance of that. So it was right then the king said, what do you need? What do you want? And Nehemiah prayed. I don't know what he prayed, but I can imagine it was something as simple. Lord, help me. I've prayed those prayers in my life, and at times I've not taken those prayers as serious as I should. But I believe that sometimes some of these prayers are more sincere than my long prayers because I know that I need it right then. And short prayers are just as effective. If we're living in a state of prayer where we need the Lord, you don't have to go into this thing, well, I'll pray about that tonight. I'll pray about that tomorrow. There's a men's prayer meeting on Saturday. He prayed, it says, he prayed before the Lord, or prayed to the God of heaven. So it was immediate. He was afraid. He knew the consequences of it. So we see the Lord answering his prayer, the latter part of verse number 7. Verse number 11 in the first chapter. Now he's down here praying his short prayer. And he said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me to Judea into the city of my fathers and sepulchre, that I may build it. Okay. So we see there an example of a short prayer. Sometimes our prayers don't need to be long. Sometimes we just need to pray. And I think sometimes my own prayers have been more sincere when they've been shorter. It's not the length of the prayer that matters. I believe it's the sincerity of your heart and what you need to get done with the Lord. Sometimes situation doesn't allow for it, but don't overlook or forsake the opportunity to talk into the Lord about these things. Now, so we see his long prayer. That was a long prayer, the model prayer, how you would do it. And then we see the second was a short prayer. Let's look at how first one was because he received bad news. Second was because he was surprised. Let's look at how he was ridiculed in chapter number 4, Nehemiah chapter number 4. Ridiculed and criticized. So we saw how bad news, and how he was surprised and needed help in a hurry. Now let's look at ridiculed and criticized. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. And it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that they built the wall, that he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. So here's the ridicule. Verse number 2, and he said, he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said unto him, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubbish that burneth? Verse number 3, and Tobias and Anamite was by him, and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, even he shall even break down their stone of wall. So we see right here is where they're criticized and ridiculed for what they've come to do. Had a calling on his life. He'd done his surveys and different things like that to build a wall, organize the people. And so he got criticized. He was trying to build his wall. He was trying to do what the Lord had for his life. I know we're not all building a physical wall in our lives, but I believe we face the same criticizing and ridicule. And it can come from friends, it can come from family, employees, and neighbors based off of criticizing how you raised your kids or how you raise your grandkids or how you spend your money. I can't believe you give so much to Faith Promise. I can't believe you go to tithe. I can't believe you don't let your kids do this. I don't believe that you let them do that. You spend so much time at church. You're here on Sunday morning. You show up on Sunday night and Wednesday night in revivals. People criticize and make fun of relationships. The priorities that you put in place. When we're building our walls, we all face these type of ridicules. But let's look how Nehemiah answered this criticizing. In verse number 4, it says, so we saw in verse number 3, the last part there where they said the fox would break down the wall. It said, verse number 4, it says, hear, O my God, for we are despised and turned their reproach upon their head and give them for the prey and to the captivity. And cover not their iniquities, and let not their sin be blotted out before them, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Nehemiah is saying, Lord, hear what they're saying. This is how he's handling it, the criticism, whatever he's facing. He's saying, Lord, listen to what they're saying. Verse number 4, oh, hear, O Lord, hear what they're saying. And he's asking the Lord to handle it. He's saying, Lord, you take care of this. He's not doing it in his own self. Because I get in my own flesh at times and I want to handle things. Well, I can fix that. You want to say this? You want to do that? I can take care of that. Nehemiah wasn't that way. He said, Lord, hear what they're saying. Lord, you take care of it. And we're all going to face criticism and ridicule, whatever, no matter what it is, in our lives and what we do. And the thing is we got to keep on working. Keep on building your wall, whatever it is, whatever you face, you do, because that's what Nehemiah did. He just kept right on working. Faced the criticism, talked to the Lord about it, let the Lord, said, Lord, you handle this, and he kept on going. He didn't get wrapped up in the criticism. He didn't get wrapped up in what was being said in him. And it's going to come, because Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 12 says, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when man shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which before you. So we see the promises there in Matthew where when we're ridiculed and made fun of for what we do, our stance and how we live for the Lord. And when Nehemiah, he just told the Lord about it and he kept on working. He did not stop. Now, let's look at how he faced threats in chapter 4, in verse number 9. That's the prayer. Let's go to chapter 4, verse number 7. It says, it came to pass that Sanballat and Tobias, and Abrams, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, I guess, and here the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and they... breaches began to be stopped, and they were very wroth, and they conspired all them together to come up and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So we see here now that he's threatened, and we see how Nehemiah prays. He goes right after that. We see just verse number 9. It says, nevertheless, we made our prayers unto God, and we set a watch, and day and night because of them. So we see there that, and then we go down to verse number 17. It says, every man with his hand wrought to the work, and the other one with the held a weapon. So they kept on working. When he was threatened with things in life, he expected it, he anticipated it, but he also prepared himself. God doesn't expect us not to defend ourselves in things. But I believe that the most of the time, what we're threatened against is spiritual warfare. There is physical danger, and I think you ought to prepare for that and protect yourselves from that. But I think the biggest thing we face every day in our lives is a spiritual battle and spiritual warfare. And we need to equip ourselves for the defense of that. Just like Nehemiah had these people, they put a sword on their side, and someone was working, had a sword, had a watch, and he prepared. He took it serious. He prepared for it. But we need to be equipped ourselves, and I go back to the same thing. It's in the Word of God. This is how we be equip ourselves for this, is reading and studying and knowing the Word of God. It equips us for the battles and things. And you see what Nehemiah did? He talked to the Lord about it. He prepared a little bit, got him defensive, and he kept on working. At no point did he quit building the wall. He kept going. Now, let's look at another section here where some things that Nehemiah faced. Nehemiah chapter number 6 and verse number 5. So we saw where he got bad news, where he was surprised, he was ridiculed, surprised, and how he responded to threats. And now the Lord really spoke to this is how the Lord really spoke to me about this in application of my own life is, in the face of fear, in the face of mind games that could be played against us. So in chapter 6, verse number 5 through 8, it says, Sanballat led his servants and Sanballat his servant unto me. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time. Just the fifth time, with an open letter, which was not normal. Usually the letters are sealed, for they can't see what's in them, but he left it so everyone could see what was being said about him. wherein was written, it was reported that the heathen, among the heathen and the Gashemites, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou build a wall, that thou mayest be a king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of them of Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Now, therefore, let us take counsel together. So we see here where Sanballat is sending this out, this open letter. And if this was to get back to the king, that there was a rebellion or preceded a rebellion, it could be bad news for him. It could be really bad. It could go bad. So we see that where he's letting everyone know. So he's like exposing what he's doing so everyone can be on the same page and realize what's happening. But in chapter 6, verse number 9, for they made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that was done. Now, therefore, here we go. He starts praying, Lord, strengthen my hand. He's praying to the Lord here because they started this, that they had exposed what they were going to do. They're going to tell the king, and this is what's going to happen. So let's come together. And so he is praying to the Lord to strengthen his hand. I believe in this part right here, he's asking for mental strength, just not physical strength. He's saying, because strengthen my hand, because Nehemiah was the leader. Everyone was looking to him. And he's saying, Lord, strengthen my hand. Help me, because everyone's looking to me to see how I handle this. They know what Sanballat's saying. Lord, help me. Everyone's going to have their eyes on the leader. And no matter where we're at or what we're doing, if we're building a wall, we're leading. Someone's watching us. So when we face these threats and ridicule and the mind game, fear, the mind games and stuff that was put into him, because it said it made all of us afraid in verse number 9. We go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of sound mind, power, and love, of love, and of sound mind. He acknowledged the fear and told the Lord about it. And then what else he did? He kept on working. Because you look down at verse number 15, it says the wall was completed in 52 days. He finished the wall. And all this time, he integrated prayer in his life. He lived in a state of prayer, talking to the Lord no matter what happened or what came up, no matter what the situation was. And he completed what the Lord had him to do. Built the wall in 52 days. So, and then we look on in a couple other verses, and I'm just going to skim over these quickly, but in four different places, Nehemiah says, remember me, O my God, for the things that he had done. And how the Lord spoke to me in my life about this as I was reading this, because he mentioned it four different times. He mentioned it in chapter 5, verse 19, and chapter 13, and verse 14, in verse 22 and verse 31, he mentions it four times. Remember me, oh my God. I believe we ought to spend a time of reflective prayer, of making sure our motives are right, but also looking back when he's at this point, what the God had done for him. This is how the Lord spoke to me when I was reading this about remember me, oh my God. So we see that Nehemiah was not just this great political leader. He was not this great manager, supervisor. He had to be all those things to build a wall, but he did it all with the Lord's help. And looking at some of his prayers, do we pray long prayers and short prayers? I think there's appropriate for all of them. There's a time for all of them. There's a time for fasting and weeping and praying. Let me tell you again, fasting works. Let me tell you again, short prayers work. Lord, help me. I need you, Lord. I believe he hears those just as much as one that I fasted for. How do we handle bad news? Just like he did, he recognized in his prayer, recognized God, confessed sin, prayed the promises of God, and asked God to use him in time. Now, we see how he acted when he prayed, and when he surprised, he prayed a short prayer. help him handle it, how he handled his fear. He said the people were watching him. Recognize the fear and tell it to the Lord about it, and then have reflective prayer and make sure our motives are right, and take time to remember what the Lord has done for us and all these things. So this is what the Lord showed me about prayer and talked to me about how I need to improve my prayer life. Because these are given, the Bible says these things are given for examples to us. So that's an example of Nehemiah and his prayer life. And let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you'll bless your word. I pray that you'll bless the services to follow, the singing of the songs and everything that goes on. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.